Hello, this is Zach Martin, editor of Regarding ID magazine. Welcome to the latest edition of the Regarding ID podcast. Today we're talking with Bob Mockney, director of the U.S. Visit Program. Today we're going to talk to Bob about some of the latest with U.S. Visit and find out what's going on with the AirSea Exit Program. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
Well, Bob, first off, I know you guys, the comment period for the rulemaking for the air and seaport exit has ended. I want to start off by talking about that. How did that go? What's going on with that? That sort of thing.
Sure. I think it went pretty well. We got about 110 comments. We had, of course, people could write in to the office here with their written comments, but we also held a comment day where some of the same people had the opportunity to speak to us directly. I think that was a positive experience as well. So, I mean, we have certainly taken it to its kind of first logical step with respect to the Administrative Procedures Act by putting an NPRM out there, putting the proposal out there as we have, which, of course, is going to require the airlines and the cruise lines to collect the data for us, and then hearing what that means to them, how it's going to affect their operations, what it might cost them to do, what time frame it might take them to do this in. And so that's all real important data for us to be able to kind of, take a look at the whole proposal and see how we might advance that with the final rule that we hope to issue sometime in the fall time frame.
I know you guys have been running into some issues. You testified in front of Congress yesterday or the day before?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. About kind of the program and, you know, how do you see things evolving? I don't know how much you can comment on it, but how, you know, the airlines have not been excited about the possibility of having to collect biometric information. What's going to happen? Do you have any idea? Can you comment at all?
I can't. It's not that I don't want to or that I can't, and in some ways I probably shouldn't, but the fact of the matter is that we just don't know how we're going to proceed. We haven't made a decision, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I certainly heard from the Congress and what their what they're thinking is as far as concerns about the airlines doing the biometric capture, and perhaps more importantly, what I heard was the shifting of the cost burden to the airlines, and so that's all good information that we will certainly take into account as we move forward. But to be honest, we haven't made a decision. We'll certainly kind of proceed as we have been. And then we'll go through the appropriate clearance processes and within DHS, of course, within the administration, to make a final determination as to what the final rule might look like. Will it look exactly like the NPRM? Probably not, in that we got some real good data from the airlines with respect to costs. So we're going to make a few modifications to the costing structure. But with respect to who collects it or who pays for it, that decision hasn't been made yet.
Can we talk a little bit about why exit is important? Like, you know, it seemed like the big hurdle was, you know, getting people when they're coming into the country. Explain to the listeners why the exit portion of U.S. Visit is so important.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, at its base level, of course, it's what Congress had mandated, and what they would argue is as far back as 1996 when they said build an entry exit program. They meant build an entry exit program. So. To have a control of exit as you would have with entry. And then, of course, adding biometrics to the process as they did in the early years after 9/11, and then most recently in the 9/11 Act and before that the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act, all citing biometrics as an important element to exit. The reason they did that, obviously, is as we have become to learn here with respect to biometrics for entry, that is the most exacting way to identify individuals. People will, on purpose, lie about who they are. They'll change their name, they'll change their date of birth, the kind of traditional indices of how we might vet someone through a watch list. But on the outbound area, if they're not purposely lying about their name, they might be using a different passport. Oftentimes, people have dual citizenship. And so they'll come into the country under one passport and they'll leave under another. Matching the names and or the passports with the entry makes it that much more difficult, obviously. So if the goal for an entry-exit program is to know who's come into the country and who has left, we have to make sure we do the best job of matching those who have left with, of course, that entry. and the biometrics piece of that makes it, again, more exacting, more sure, and we can close the door. What we do, of course, when we do try and match names, we'll often get what we call an unconfirmed overstay. We have no record of an individual leaving the country, and we therefore pass that information on to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, who may very well be spending their time and energy going after someone who, in fact, did leave, but we didn't make that match as readily as we would have if we had the biometrics. So it's a long answer to basically say biometrics do a better job of giving us the ability to match an entry with an exit record, and it makes it cleaner. We can close the door. ICE doesn't have to go after those folks, and we can, again, build that person's travel history so that next time they come to the country, they can do so with as little issues as possible.
Well, you guys did run some pilots with some different exit procedures right after you launched the entry portion, correct?
We did.
How did those pilots go? What did you guys learn from those pilots?
Two basic lessons learned. Number one, the technology works terrifically. When people did use the kiosks, the information that we obtained from the kiosk, the two-finger scans at the time and the photograph, we were able to match at a near 98-99 percentile. So we would find the person's fingerprint on entry. The couple of percentage points that didn't allow it to happen was generally people coming in before the program was using fingerprints coming in, so we didn't have the fingerprints of those individuals who, of course, were now checking out. So there was nothing to check against. So when we had the fingerprints in and out, terrific job of accounting for that, terrific job of matching. The problem with the process was people couldn't find the kiosks. They were put in locations within the airport that made it difficult for people to comply with the program. And so we had a low compliance rate, mostly because people couldn't find the devices. And so the lesson learned from that was that if we're going to implement any kind of exit control, short of building departure control booths as you have in Asia and Europe, we had to implement this and deploy this in an area familiar to the traveler, either at the check-in counter, at TSA, at the gate, somewhere that fit within the traveler's kind of travel continuum, something that made it easy for them to comply with the law.
Okay, great. So the next step is you guys are going to release a final rule in the fall. Is that what you said?
That's the goal, certainly.
Otherwise, just want to check in. What else is new at the U.S. Visit Office? I know you guys have been rolling out 10 prints at airports across the country. Is that pretty much done, or are you guys still working on that?
We're just concluding some tests that we did at 10 airports, and we're doing the evaluation on that, and we're beginning the deployment process actually this month. So we'll begin deploying to all remaining ports of entry. That's air, land, and sea, about 311 in total. We'll have the 10 print devices, and we'll complete that by the end of December of 2008. So all points of entry, every place that a person comes into the country at the air and sea ports, and then, of course, in the secondary area of the land border ports of entry, will have the ability to take 10 prints of those individuals coming in. That's gone well. The people have adapted to it very well. The time difference between the 2 print and the 10 print is negligible. So we haven't seen any wait time increase because of the 10 print. And yet, of course, the data that we're capturing is so much more rich in that we've identified thousands of individuals that we wouldn't have identified were it not for the 10 print. What I mean by that real quickly is when we were taking just the left and right index fingers, we were just checking our database within the DHS. Taking the 10 prints of all visitors allows us to vet that against the FBI's criminal master file. About 57 million fingerprints of people who have been arrested and convicted of crimes. And the surprising number, and a growing number, of individuals who come into the country and who have had some type of arrest record within the U.S. is very telling. And that additional piece of information really helps CBP, Customs and Border Protection officers, keep those individuals who shouldn't be coming to the country and allows them to keep them out of the country. So we believe just in the 10 test locations where we again, identify thousands of individuals based on the 10 print, that number is going to jump up exponentially as we roll out to all 311 ports. So that's the 10 print. We're, of course, in addition to the 10 print issue, and of course, very closely related to that is the interoperability we are doing with the FBI. So come October of this year, we will have what we call initial operating capability, allowing the FBI to seamlessly check our systems and our ability to seamlessly check the FBI systems. Haven't had that ability in as robust a fashion up till now. Of course, we've had an interim program where we're checking a smaller data set, but come October, we'll be able to check the full complement of the 57 million, and again, the FBI will have access to a much greater database, a much greater number in our database of the fingerprints of individuals that we encounter. Beyond that, of course, we've got mobile that we're working on. We continue to work with the Coast Guard. We just expanded in April from the Mona Pass to the Florida Straits. And so the success that the Coast Guard had in encountering individuals on the high seas, taking biometrics in the middle of the ocean and beaming that via satellite back to us, and us beaming it back to them in about 2 minutes, went so well that they wanted to expand that to additional locations. And so the next spot was the Florida Straits in the Miami and the Key West area. And again, that's going very well. We have already identified about 51 individuals who we have had some prior encounter with, and we're continuing to look at those numbers and see where else the Coast Guard might want to engage. Because, as I said, they are modifying their operations in order to accommodate biometrics, and they see that as a very, very positive for their operations. And then I guess we would say that, certainly preparing for the transition for whoever's the next president, that's going to be, key to make sure that either one's advisors are briefed on the U.S. Visit program, some of the capabilities that we have within U.S. Visit, a lot of the work we can do with ICE for interior enforcement. Of course, the Secure Communities program is going to loom large very soon with respect to identifying criminal aliens who get arrested for other crimes. So we're keeping busy over here with a lot of different things, but right now I would have to say exit is at the top of that list because we've got to get that done by the June of 2009 timeframe, and we've got some airlines to work with and some airlines to convince about the best way forward.
Okay, great.
Good.
Well, Bob, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We've been chatting with Bob Mockney, director of the U.S. Visit Program, today on the Regarding an ID podcast. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thanks, Zach.